Blessings and the peace of God be with each of you as we are once again experiencing worship remotely, as the weather forecast predicts a Sunday high of 0 degrees and a lingering chance of additional snow. The scripture reading I share with you for this Sunday morning is from the New Testament book of Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, as the Apostle Paul writes, "But God has shown us how much he loves us. It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. By his sacrificial death, we are now put right with God. How much more, then, will we be saved by him from God's anger? We were God's enemies, but he made us his friends through the death of his Son. Now that we are God's friends, how much more will we be saved by Christ's life? But that is not all. We rejoice because of what God has done through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has now made us God's friends." May we pray. Merciful and loving God, we rejoice in the privilege to offer you worship and praise on this Lord's Day. We pray that the meditations of our hearts may be acceptable in your presence, and we especially are aware of your great love for us, expressed through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Most of us likely remember that today, the 14th of February, is Valentine's Day. And to be sure that we are in good standing with our loved ones near and far, it's probably a good idea to express our appreciation for the loved ones in our lives, surely before the end of the day. Some may wonder if Valentine's Day was parked in the middle of one of the coldest months of the year to serve as a kind of pick-me-up in the midst of dark, dreary, and oftentimes very cold days. But given the fact that the event began as a pagan festival for the Romans in the balmy climate of the Mediterranean, weather issues probably had little influence upon the time of year that it was celebrated. But as Christianity began to flourish in Europe, there was an attempt to impose a Christian message over the top of this pagan celebration in much the same way that the Advent wreath, Christmas trees, and many Easter events came about. Thus, in February, many stories about Saint Valentine grew in popularity through the centuries. One legend tells us that Valentine was a priest who served during the 3rd century in Rome. When Emperor Claudius II decided that single men were better soldiers than those men who were married and had children to care for, Claudius outlawed marriage for young men. Valentine, however, realizing the injustice of the decree, defied the emperor and continued to perform marriages for young men in secret. When Emperor Claudius discovered the priest was defying his order, he had Valentine put to death. In a more deliberate attempt to do away with pagan practices, later in the 5th century, a pope of the Catholic Church declared the 14th of February to be St. Valentine's Day. It wasn't until centuries later, during the Middle Ages, that Valentine greetings began to evolve. The oldest known written Valentine is a poem written in 1415. Charles, Duke of Orleans, wrote a poem to his wife, sent to her while he was imprisoned in the Tower of London after being captured in battle. Several years later, it's believed that King Henry V hired a writer to compose a Valentine note to Catherine of Valois in France, who later became his wife. As centuries passed, it was in the Victorian era that notes and later Valentine's postcards became popular. But as postcards went out of fashion, it was Hallmark founder J.C. Hall who started selling a line of Valentine greeting cards in 1913. As they grew in popularity, Hallmark began to mass produce Valentine's Day cards in 1915. A hand-fed press with steel engravings stamped out the line drawings of 500 to 700 cards per hour. The Hallmark artists were then lined up to hand-paint the pictures that expressed the sentiment of each card. As further years have passed, and even as the pressures of capitalizing on the commercial value of Valentine's Day have increased, the means by which one can express appreciation for loved ones has certainly grown exponentially. In the late 1600s, there was an evolving notion that flowers could be used to express one's thoughts to another without ever uttering a word. Different meanings were placed for various flowers of specific color. And of course, the red rose evolved as an outward expression of one's deep love to another. Thus, the evolution of the dozen red roses on Valentine's Day. It was in 1861 that Richard Cadbury began putting cupids and rosebuds on heart-shaped boxes of bite-sized chocolates, not only benefiting his family's chocolate business, but thus also spurring on the showering of gifts on Valentine's Day. Thus, whether it be cards, flowers, candy, or some other means of expression, the truth is that ever since the time of the Romans, various means have evolved as an outward demonstration of one's deep affection for one's loved one. Whatever the means and regardless of the cost involved, what has become so very important has been one's willingness to demonstrate one's genuine love for another. And as Valentine's Day this year falls on a Sunday, it seems like a most appropriate day to set aside the commercialization of Valentine's Day and pause to consider how God has chosen to express his genuine love for all his children. Through the centuries, God has spoken to us through his word in Scripture. But God's relationship with us has been far more than words. God has repeatedly demonstrated his love for us by his actions. God parted the waters of the Red Sea so his people could flee the wrath of the Egyptian Pharaoh. God provided water from the rock and manna from heaven so his people could survive the harsh conditions of the wilderness and be forged into people who knew his ways. God dwelt among his people as his very presence resided in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that hovered over the covenant box. And even as the centuries and generations have passed, God has ultimately demonstrated his great love by offering the very best of himself through his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In a most meaningful and intimate way, Jesus didn't just talk to us. Jesus has demonstrated God's love by his actions. Luke chapter 7, verses 12 through 15 shows us that God's great love is demonstrated as Jesus brought the widow's son back to life outside their hometown of Nain. Mark chapter 8, verse 12 reveals Christ's compassion for the multitude as the 5,000 men, as well as their wives and children, are given a meal through the multiplying of the loaves and fishes. Matthew 14, verse 14 tells us that when Jesus saw the large crowds, his heart was filled with compassion for them, and he demonstrated God's great love by healing their sick. Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34 tells us that as a great multitude followed Jesus, he still takes the time to heal the two blind men sitting by the wayside, demonstrating God's great compassion even for those marginalized by the crowd. And as Jesus' disciples scolded the mothers who brought their children to be blessed, Jesus demonstrates God's great love for even the youngest among us As Jesus says in Mark chapter 10, verse 14, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And in our scripture reading for this morning from Romans chapter 5, Paul tells us that God demonstrates his ultimate love for all his children, as the 8th verse declares, "God has shown us how much he loves us. It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us." God demonstrates his great love for us even while we are so very undeserving. Christ is like the bride and groom dressed in their finery, who stop and rush out of their limousine to render aid and guidance for the beleaguered beggar who has just stepped into oncoming traffic of a bustling city intersection. And not only are we like the beggar who is averted from harm's way, we are also invited to the reception. For as Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, "By Christ's sacrificial death, we are now put right with God. We were God's enemies, but he made us his friends through the death of his Son. Now that we are God's friends, how much more will we be saved by Christ's life?" But that is not all. We rejoice because of what God has done through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has now made us God's friends. God truly demonstrates the depth of his great love for us, not only by saving us from the ravages of sin's eternal separation, but we are brought back into God's loving arms as we are no longer God's enemies, but instead we are privileged to be up close and personal with our loving God, for we are God's friends. Surely experiencing this close, loving relationship should bring great joy to our hearts. And on this Valentine's Day, how does God's demonstration of his great love compel us to respond? As our loving God has proven to us, we realize that in our relationships with those whom we hold most dear, and even in the passing relationships with complete strangers, demonstrating genuine love and personal regard is always in fashion. For those we hold most dear, it is often the simplest expressions of genuine love that bolster the deepest measures of devotion. Expressing words of affection as a day begins or as loved ones depart from another. Carrying one's share of the family's daily chores and expressing thanks to another for those tasks done that benefit oneself. Offering an impromptu hug, a glance of affection, a laugh, a quiet conversation about the trivial, all are ways of expressing genuine appreciation for the relationships one is privileged to share with dear loved ones. And even for the stranger, holding a door as another person enters, expressing a warm smile and a greeting while passing, or pausing to share in a conversation about that which may be insignificant, but yet is still engaging, are ways to demonstrate genuine appreciation for another member of God's great family. Yes, on Valentine's Day, Sunday, or any other day of the week, it's always a good time to truly demonstrate genuine love toward others. Not because we are ever deserving, but simply because in doing so, this is when we may be most godly. For we remember that it was while we were still sinners that God showed his love for us. Christ died for us, and now we are called God's friends. May the blessings and peace of God's great love be with each of you as we journey through another week, and as we look forward to the day we'll all be freed from the concerns of the virus and blessed to worship God together.